Today our lesson was on the conscience, and Paul did an excellent presentation of that in our not only in our lesson, but in the scriptures that we read today. So I want to take a little bit different detour to it, which I know that'll surprise you that I would do that, but I want to do a little bit different approach to this one, but still keeping it with conscience. When I was a little girl, I went downtown with my mother, and in that day and time, in those dark ages, there was five and dime stores. And in the five and dime store were open shelves that the merchandise was laying on. And in the center of this five and dime store was a candy counter. And the candy counter had glass shelves all around it. And in the glass were these bins of different kinds of candy. And then on one side, there were wrapped candies that you could buy, boxes and things like that. But most of it was by the scoop. You put it in a bag and you weighed it out and you purchased it. And I was trying to tell my mother that I wanted some candy, and my mother was not interested in what I was trying to tell her. So I went to the candy counter, and there was no one there. So I went behind the candy counter, and I reached in to the M&M display, and I took out three M&Ms. And I went to my mother with my hand held very tightly, and I went to my mother, and I pulled on her, and I said to her, I want to buy this. And in my hands were three M&Ms. And my mother looked at me and she said, Tricia, you have just stolen those M&Ms. I said, no, I haven't. She says, you can't take those M&Ms and put them back in the case after you've had them in your hand. You stole those M&Ms. In that moment in time, my mother seared into my consciousness this idea of thief, of stealing. My conscience then, from then on, always reminds me of taking something that doesn't belong to me. I closed my hands around the M&Ms, and if you hear the story or you hear the advertising that says M&Ms do not melt in your hands, they melt in your mouth, they will melt in your hands because I held those three M&Ms until they were nothing but puddles of chocolate and crushed outer candies. I didn't eat them. Because I stole them. And my mother put into my conscience the idea of stealing. Today's lesson, I would like to title this, A Place of Planting, which is kind of a strange title for conscience. But I believe that you and I are called to a greater calling than conscience. Conscience is a starting place. It's like a little seed in a starting kit that some of us start our plants that way to prepare them for the spring. We start them in these starter kits in the winter. And in this starter kit is the small amount of soil to hold the beginning of the seed. And that to me is what conscience is. It's a starting place. It's a holding place to begin the process of growing into the woman of God that we want to become. But it is not the ending place. Conscience is not the place where we stay. It's the place where we begin. And as I prepare for the soil or prepare for the springtime, I plant a seed into a starter kit. And that seed begins to germinate. That seed begins to spring forth life. But it is not a place that seed can become a mature plant. It's not intended to be that. And as that little seed begins its life, I know I have a greater plan for that plant than to leave it in this starter kit. I know I'm going to take it. I'm going to nurture it. I'm going to mature it. I'm going to establish it. And I'm going to put it out so that it can become everything that it's designed to be. But I start someplace small. And I think that's where parents start. That's where my parents started with me. They begin to teach me little tiny things. It's good to share. So that when I am an adult, I understand the principle of sharing. It's not a good thing to steal. It's a good thing to be gracious toward other people and kind. And so you start at a very small time with a small lesson of being kind. Maybe it's kind to an animal. Maybe you get your child a little puppy and you teach that child the kindness out of the interaction that it has with a small puppy. Or maybe it's a new baby that comes into the house and you teach that older child to be kind to this new infant. So there's places that we begin to plant little tiny conscience, little tiny seeds that we start with. And the Holy Spirit, as a new Christian, begins that same process. And as older Christians, we look across and we see new baby Christians doing certain things, and we want to immediately mature them. We want to take them from the starter kit right out to the front of the house, dig a deep hole, and put them in there and say, now grow and to be everything that God wants you to be. And they're not ready to go from a starter kit straight into a deep hole. There's a process. And that process then is a place where you and I can mature into the women that God calls us to be, but we can also choose to get stuck in places. And so I want to talk about four things today. One is, actually five things. One is the starter, the growing, the transplanting, the maturing, and the established. And in this process of planting, in this process of growing, in this process of training, we start off maybe with the thing that we study today, and that's conscience. If you'll turn to Proverbs, or write it down if you would prefer, Proverbs 22:6. It says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And as the Holy Spirit trains us, and as our parents trained us, or as you trained your children or your grandchildren, or as we're trained in Sunday school or in church services, we start from this starter kit. Now, most of us are no longer in a starter kit. We are maturing. We are mature women of faith. But we need to remember there are people who are still in the starter stage. In Deuteronomy 5:32-33, it says, so be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left, but walk in all the ways that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. You and I are in these stages. We are in the second stage of growing. Maybe we're in the third stage of being transplanted. Maybe we're in the maturing stage where we are transplanted to be established into the call that God has for us in our lives. As we are growing in the process of the Holy Spirit, in the process of going and being what God wants us to be, God has a purpose and a plan for us. And that purpose and plan for us is for us to be mature. Maturity in a plant is a place where the plant is secure and established, and it bears fruit. Starter plants don't bear fruit and aren't expected to bear fruit. They're barely able to hang on to their life themselves. As we begin to grow in that place, though, there's a time where you and I, as gardeners, take those starter plants and we need to transplant them. Now, we may not transplant them straight from the starter kit into the ground. We may transplant them into pots. These pots are the place where the plant can begin to take root and grow deeper. The starter is to get it started, and it doesn't stay there or shouldn't stay there very long. If you look at your life, you may say, you know, I'm not a starter, but I do remember being a starter. I remember how hard it was to establish myself as a Christian. I remember how hard it was to read the Word of God and apply it in my life. It was so hard for me to sit under the teaching and be able to incorporate that into my life. But as I begin to grow and mature and develop some roots and develop some friendships and develop some Sunday school classes and develop some women's Bible studies, and as I begin to be mentored by an older Christian or a more mature Christian, those things begin to take root and I begin to process those things to develop a system that I could hold on to. And then all of a sudden, when I thought I was just beginning to be established, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords uprooted me and moved me to a new place. And that new place wasn't a place where I was supposed to die. That wasn't a place where I was supposed to stop. That was a place where I was supposed to dig deeper roots and grow stronger in my faith and in my belief. Then comes along a couple of storms, comes along a couple of places where it doesn't make sense to me. And I begin to wonder, am I really going to be able to make this life? Am I going to really be able to stand and stand firm? Am I going to really be able to establish myself as a Christian? Because all of a sudden the enemy came and he began to shake you up a little bit in this new environment that you're trying to grow in. Then comes along the pruner and he begins to prune back some of the leaves and pull off the bottom leaves so that you can grow a little bit. He begins to make the soil a little more compact around you so that you can establish some roots. And that's not a comfortable place when all of a sudden you feel the packing of the master's hands around your roots. But if he left you to the place of conscience, where you're just living out of the conscience that you have, my conscience is very limited. Even though my mother spent a lot of time trying to correct me, as you can probably imagine, she spent a lot of time trying to correct me. And she had six brothers and sisters on top of me that also were trying to correct me. And so I got a lot of information probably that wasn't really good information. But I also got some really strong information from my mother that was pretty good and pretty powerful in how she delivered that information to me. But now I need to come along and grow. And out of that, I need to move from just living in my conscience of the things that I'm taught by society, by even in the sitting under the Word. I need to get into the Word. I need to know what it says. I need to personally begin to grow. As a body of believers in the universal church, we're growing. And that's a great place to receive instructions. But there's a place in our lives where God begins to minister through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit in that ministering is greater than just conscience. It's a place where He begins to send in valuable information that begins to let us know how to interpret scriptures, to know how to apply the Word of God, to know how to choose to modify our own will and our own behavior. It begins a place where we begin the process of maturing, not only growing, but maturing out of the little tiny starter into the next pot. Then eventually we need to be transplanted. We need to be transplanted in the place where we're going to reside and live. That is a maturing level. That's a place where when I put the plant out of the starter kit into this bigger pot, now I'm taking the pot outside and I'm letting it sit in the sun and get used to what it feels like now to no longer live in a house. No longer live in the protection of a controlled environment where it's not messed with, it's not disturbed. But now I'm going to take it outside and I'm going to sit it outside for a couple of days and let it get used to the wind. Let it get used to the sun beating down harshly upon it. It's never had sun beating down harshly upon it. It's a new experience. It's being transplanted. There may be some of you in here that are being transplanted. And you hadn't thought about the fact that, wait a minute, I've been kind of cushioned. I've been kind of isolated. I've been kind of protected. And now all of a sudden, I'm being transplanted out into the place where God wants us to begin to really grow and mature. Sometimes that's not a pleasant place because I've never had the sun. I've never had to deal with the blazing sun. I've never had to deal with the wind blowing. I've never had to deal with the soil getting crunchy around me. I've never had to deal with the elements going around me. I've never had to deal with hail. I've never had to deal with strong rain. All of a sudden, I'm a brand new something and circumstances are coming that I'm not familiar with. If you've been left in a conscience stage, you don't know what to do with this because I've never encountered this before. As a 56-year-old woman, if I were just relying on my conscience, I would be very limited in what I would be able to discern. But I am maturing. I am under the gardener's hand as he's developing me into the woman that God wants me to be. And there are stages when God is transplanting us, when God is moving us from one stage to another stage, from that stage where we get comfortable in to a new stage where we're not so comfortable. And from that stage, he wants to even move you to a bigger place and a better place. Because, and each one of those moving stages is a place of growth, but it's also a place of confusion. It's a place where our roots are uprooted now. Even though we try when we transplant plants to keep the soil as compacted around the roots as we possibly can, the whole idea of moving the plant is to get it so that its roots can go deeper and grow stronger, and that the top of it can begin to produce different kinds of fruit than just leaves. So when the Master, when God in His sovereignty and His wisdom for our lives begins to move us, it's not so comfortable. But if we don't move from one to the other, if we get stuck in a starter, we're going to die. A starter plant can never produce fruit in a starter kit. It only has so much room for its roots. It only has so much room to grow. And if it remains where it is, it will never produce fruit. It will never grow into the maturity that God had intended for it when it was a seed. Inside of the seed is the ingredients for fruit, not for plant. God didn't call us to be plants. He called us to be fruit-bearing trees. You can't grow a tree in a potted plant. You can't grow a tree in a starter kit. You can't grow a tree in those little tiny round containers. You gotta put a tree into the ground so that it can spread out its roots and grow deep. You gotta put it in the ground where the sun beats down on it and the rain comes and nourishes the soil around it so it releases the nutrients. You gotta put a tree someplace where it can grow and to spread its branches out and grow its crown tall so that it can begin to produce fruit. And as the conscience, if we stay in the place where conscience rules, we stay limited, pot bound, and all of a sudden, even if we're exposed to great teaching, we're exposed to great music, we're exposed to great books, we can only grow so much, and then we're pot bound. And as God takes each one of us and He stretches us into a new place, He not only stretches us, but He begins to equip us and train us and cut us back and expose us to better things and greater things for a purpose. It's easy to want to stay rooted in the safety of the place we've become familiar with. It's easy to get used to the confinements of the pot. And even though we feel closed in and maybe even cut off, it's easier to stay there sometimes than it is to have the pot shook and the Master pull out the plant and some of the parts that you were familiar with sticks to the bottom of the pot. Then He puts you in a strange and a new place that the soil isn't so rich. The soil isn't so porous. The soil isn't so easy. Now it's, if you live in Colorado, it's sand and hard clay you got to break down and break across. But each one of us are called not to be a plant and a planter. You are not plants, you are trees. You and I are trees, living trees, life-giving trees. We are trees that are designed from the seedling that we were when we first accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. He did not see a little tiny seed. He didn't see a little tiny leaf sticking out. He saw a full-grown, mature, fruit-producing, life-giving tree. And in the process of your first, to the process of your maturing and establishing, He is in the process of working out that fruit-bearing tree in our lives. Why? Because He doesn't need a potted plant. He doesn't need a tree. He doesn't need a plant that doesn't produce fruit. You're not a decorative house plant. Even though we love house plants, we are not called to be house plants. We're not called to be cute little bonsai trees that are trimmed and look good on the outside. And we're perfectly formed on the outside. And then that's where we are. We're just decorative items. That's not what God needs in the kingdom. He doesn't need little tiny trees. He doesn't need cute little plants. He needs life-producing, life-giving, full of energy and life-giving trees. So if God is in the process of moving you from plant to plant, planting to planting to planting, it is not because He is not in love with you. It's not because He intends for this to be a hard process. He's intending to make you a tree that gives out life so that the world can see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to give life and life abundantly. And the only message, the way He gets that message out is through little tiny seeds that He transplants from small starter kits to a bedding plant, to an outdoor plant, to a life-giving tree that begins to sink deep roots. And the only way a tree can produce fruit is it's got to establish itself. In the process of growing is a great place. The process of growing is a good place to be, but it's not the end result. The end needs to be established. A tree doesn't begin to produce fruit until it is established. And if you stay in even the growing stage, that's great. We all need to be growing, and life-giving trees grow throughout their whole life. And the more they grow, and the more they are established, and the more their roots are firmly set, the more fruit they produce. You know yourself, if you have a fruit tree, and it's only 2 years old, it may not produce any fruit at all. When it's 4 years old, it may produce a sparse little fruit of apples that don't really mature all the way. They kind of look like apples, but they don't really taste very good, or peaches, or oranges. They don't really taste that great. They look okay. It's beginning to produce fruit. It just hasn't started producing this abundant fruit, this life-giving fruit. You cannot feed a nation of people who are hungry out of plants that you grow in your house. House plants don't produce fruit. Even if they're a fruit-bearing plant, they don't produce enough fruit to give life to nations. It takes mature trees to feed a nation. It takes mature trees to feed the kingdom of God with life-giving starter seeds so that Christ can take the seed that you and I produce in little tiny segments and plant them in a potter, in a starter kit, start putting roots down, transplanting it till it becomes a tree, and it becomes a tree. So the process that we start with today in the lesson on conscience is great. But we as people of faith that need to be matured to producing fruit can't live without the Holy Spirit giving us more revelation, more discernment, more what the Word of God says, more of where we can stand and stand firm, places where we hide the Word of God in our heart and we meditate on it day and night. Places, like I said the last time, where we come to the place where we say, I know. Because we're becoming planting deep-rooted plants so that we can begin to establish ourselves. We continue to grow, but God continues to transplant us into different situations. And the idea of those situations is not to make the plant die. The idea is for the plant to grow deeper roots so that it can begin to produce greater fruit. So where are you? Are you at the starter? Conscience is kind of ruling, and the rules and the regulations and the do's and the don'ts are the things that kind of sets your pace. If you're still in the do's and the don'ts and you're counting off how many things you can do versus how many things you can't do, and is the scale getting deeper on this side, and I don't know because there's so many things I can't do anymore for the things that I get to do. If you're in that stage, you're still in that starter kit stage. Because a mature person knows that for everything that's put on this side of the don'ts, there's a benefit on this side that is producing, that will produce great fruit in our lives. Will produce stability in our lives so that when the storms of life come, we don't become that tree that gets knocked over because we've established deep roots. In the wind that we had the other day on Garden of the Gods, there was a pine tree that looked whole and healthy and vibrant. The wind came the other day and there must have been a crack in the root, a crack in the stem of the trunk of the pine tree because it split right up the middle and fell completely over. It didn't get dug up by the root. It got dug up by the trunk. Its fault wasn't in how deep its roots were. Its fault was in the establishment of the trunk. The trunk couldn't stand up. The root stood up. The trunk didn't stand up. And it fell over. The trunk for us in this scenario would be, how established are you in the solidness of who God is in your life? Like Martha, but I know. The idea is not to be transplanted. The idea is not to even be always, the idea is to always grow, but not to be in that birth stage of growth where you're growing. Not even to be in the starter kit where you're beginning the process. The idea is to mature. In Colossians 2:6, it says, Colossians 2:6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. We are to become bigger, stronger, healthier, life-producing trees so that God can produce seeds in other people so that we can then give life to those starter kits as He begins to mature them. The idea is the maturing of us. Now, a lot of us in here have maturing years on us. But how mature are we spiritually? Does the age on us reflect the maturity of us? Maybe, maybe not. It's not designed to do that. Because brand new baby Christians can be older. Mature Christians can be young. But the idea is, if you had to categorize yourself today, where would you be in the scale of the starter, the growing, the maturing, the established, the transplanting? What stage would your tree look like? What would your tree look like? If you had to draw yourself as a tree, what would it be? And I tell you that God does not intend for us to be decorative trees, limited by the pot we're in, limited by where I'm allowed to grow. I have a pine tree in my house, and it was given to me as a little tiny pine tree. It was on Arbor Day, and they were I volunteered at Memorial Hospital, and one of the things that they did for the volunteers is they gave us a pine tree. And this little pine tree was so scrawny and puny, I thought, there is no way that I, brown thumb Tricia, is going to be grow this pine tree. Especially in the sickly little state it was in. And then I put it outside and I forgot about it and I didn't water it and I didn't do anything with it. So I went out there one day and here's all its little pine needles, brown from the bottom up, a couple of little green ones still sticking up, so I knew there was life. I took that pine tree and I put it into a small pot and I put it in my backyard and I began to nurture that pine tree. And I watered it faithfully. I put it out in the sun faithfully. And it began to take root and grow. I've had that pine tree maybe 3 or 4 years, and it's still just this year. Next year it'll be able to go into the ground. But I've nurtured it. But you know what? It will never be a pine tree It'll look like a pine tree. It'll feel like a pine tree. It'll try with all of its might to be a mighty pine tree. But if I keep it in this little clay pot, it'll never be a pine tree. It'll never produce fruit. It'll never reproduce itself. It'll never grow to be fully everything that it was intended to be when it was a little tiny seed. But next year, I'm going to take it and I'm going to put it in the ground. And I'm going to nurture it, and I'm going to make sure that it has every chance that I can give it to succeed in becoming the great big pine tree that it's intended to be. And I can look at that little pine tree from its start, and it had in its DNA, pine tree DNA, this idea of being a big pine tree. Because if it had not had the idea of being a full-grown pine tree in a big-time forest next to the grandest pine tree of all, it would have died that first couple of weeks that I had it. But somehow inside of it, it saw for itself its full potential. Inside of each one of us, the Holy Spirit has put inside of us the potential of being what God called us to be. That we can look at ourselves and we can say, I never can be that. I'll never make a difference. I'll never have any fruit. I'll never have any trophies. I'll never have any crowns to give. Or I can look at myself and I can say, no matter where you put me, God, I'm going to grow. I'm going to send down roots, and I'm going to establish myself. And when you come along with things that I don't understand and start cutting me back, I'm going to allow that to happen because I see inside of me the fruit tree that you've destined me to be. I'm going to be the mature Christian because I'm going to stay longer. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek. I'm going to go. I'm going to do. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to fail. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do the things that you called me to do because I know that you've called me not to be a potted plant that's delicately tended to, but you call me to be a tree, a mighty tree that produces life-giving fruit and hope for in a desperate world. I'm going to spread out deep. I'm going to send out my arms wide. I'm going to grow as tall as I possibly can through the Word of God and the reading of the Word. I'm going to listen to the power of the Holy Spirit begin to speak life into me. I'm going to begin to stir up the gifts that are inside of me, just like Paul told Timothy to do. He said, stir up those gifts inside of me. The things that you've called me to do, the things that you've asked me to do, the places that you've put me, the people in my life, the people that you've put into my life, the people that are hard to love and people that are easy to love, people that require a lot of maintenance and people that just kind of seem to thrive around in the process of growing around me, in the people that you've brought into my life to mentor or to nurture. I'm going to do it all, God, because I can see inside of me your plan for me. And if you can't see inside of yourself God's plan for you, then you need to read the Word of God and see what He says about you and me. You need to see inside of you and me what God destined us to be. His plan is for the whole world to know who Jesus Christ is, that every man should come to know God. And how's He going to do that except through other people? Through fruit trees producing life, that's producing fruit, that's feeding other people so that they can grow and mature. We contribute to the soil that's around their root system by encouraging them, by stirring up them to be the best that they can be. We look at our kids sometimes and we think we've missed it. We look at our work situation and we think we've blown it. We look at our own lives in the midst of the struggles that we have and the failures that come on us, and we think, I can't possibly be what God called me to be. But it may be God just moving your roots around a little bit. It may be God loosening up the soil a little bit so you can grow a little bit stronger and a little bit deeper. Or maybe it's true that life storm came along and kind of shook some of your belief systems around, shook some of your confidence around. And what God needs you to do is to say, you know what? I understand that this is shaking me, but I'm going to turn into a Martha that says, but I know. And until I'm going to dig in and find out what it is that I need to know to get past this situation. Because what I'm going to do is I'm not going to let the roots of my life die. I'm not going to be one of those transplants that then just sits content in a pot until I'm so pot-bound I'm not producing life anymore. I'm so sure of who I am and so confident that I have arrived that all I can do is look at you and see how you have not arrived. I'm so full of, I'm so lifeless in myself that all I can breathe into you is death. I'm so hopeless that all I can give you is pushing back out that same fruit. But I don't want to be that. I want to be a place where the Master can take me and say, it's time for you to change. It's time for you to go someplace different. It's time for you to stop being this comfortable self, this self-contained little container. It's time for you to move and do and be greater and bigger and do the thing that I've called you to do and to be. And that may be very uncomfortable. That may mean you have to teach a Sunday school class when I don't want to. I taught when I was young and I don't want to teach now. But God may be calling you to do something different so that not only can the people that you're around grow, but you can also grow. So I'm taking you out of the comfortable pot and I'm putting you out into a greater place to grow. Just like next year, I'll take my little pine tree and I'll prepare it and then I will transplant it and it will not like it and some of its leaves, some of its pine needles will die and it will not thrive the first year and it will not grow and it will be stomping its feet and kicking and screaming and, but you know what? I know you'll never be what I need it to be. It'll never be what it's designed to be as long as I leave it in a clay pot in my backyard. But when I put it in the ground and I nurture it, I know it will grow into be everything. It will grow into the pine tree that it's supposed to be. You and I are designed to mature. We're designed to be established. We're designed to be everything that God called us to be. In James chapter 1, verse 4, it says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. Perseverance, staying the course, determined to grow and to be mature, to be established. All of the others were in the active stage of starting, growing, transplanting, maturing. But there comes a place where you are established. You're not being established. You are established. That is the place that I am desiring with all my heart right now. I want to be established. I want to be the Martha that says, but I know. I want a resting faith that says, I understand that this is not comfortable. This is not a place where I have the answers, but I know. And I want to be able to convey that in confidence, not in words alone, but in confidence of who Christ is to people that God sends into my life, that are facing situations that I, as a mature woman, have already faced. And I know this weekend I had an opportunity. We had a conference at Glen Eyrie, and it was for single moms. And I sat in a room with two single moms younger than myself, facing big challenges. And I, for the first time in a long time, could look them in the eye and confidently say, God is faithful. I could say that before, but there was a part in me that didn't have a root established there, that was just beginning to push down into that soil. And it wasn't established. But this weekend, I looked and I said, God is faithful. God will never leave you where you are. If you'll just hang on to Him, if you'll just trust where there's no reason to trust, there's no visual sight to trust, if you'll just hold on when the going is not going the way that all of us in the church, oh yes, I'm doing great, I'm doing fine, yes, all of those platitudes go. If you'll hold on, God's faithful. God knows where you are. And I was able to sit for 15 or 20 minutes and talk to these ladies with a new confidence in who God was. Because I know that the Holy Spirit is working in areas of my life to make this established, for me to become established. Now, next week I may, or next semester I may stand up here and be in a totally different place. But right now, because I don't know, I may be close to the place where I need to be transplanted so I can bear greater fruit. Or I may be in a place where I need to have the roots kind of shook up a little bit and I may not be as confident. But right now, I can tell you, God is faithful. I could have said it out of the Word of God and been truthful. But I know now there's a new place inside of me that God is working, a deep establishing, so that it is becoming established. I am becoming established. But I know I am established in other areas that just a few years ago I was growing in. And it's great to see that there's places in my life that I am established in. That I am still growing in those, but I am more confident now in those areas than I've been in the past. And that is the place where I know that God wants me to go, to the place where I am established. Why? So that I can be cocky and arrogant and no. So that I can look at a younger woman who's going through a struggle that I've already been there, and I can look at her and faithfully and confidently and assuredly say to her, I know. It's not something I read. It's not something that I hope to believe someday. It is a place now where I am established. And each one of us, in our growth process, if we stay where conscience is the only thing that runs and rules our life, we will be so limited in what God can do with us. But as we surrender those do's and don'ts into the place where the Holy Spirit begins to teach us and show us and train us and mature us, as we begin to not only rely on the conscience that we have, but we begin to rely on the teaching of the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. And as we begin to push on through things, and as we begin to push our roots deep, when we have to press up against the clay, and if you've dug in Colorado, if you want to see clay, come to my yard. But I'm sure you have it in yours. When you dig down and you've got to really press up against that clay to pull that soil out, and you know that that root of that tree has got to push through that clay, you try to make it possible for that to happen. But you know that at some point in time, tree, you're going to run up against this wall of clay, and it's going to be hard to press through this part. But if you're going to grow to be a mature established tree, you're going to have to learn how to press through some clay walls in your life. And the clay walls in your life establish deep roots, because the same clay that holds you out holds the roots in. Those lessons that you've learned that you can pass on to a younger woman, or to your daughters, or to your grandchildren, or to your next door neighbor who's struggling with her identity in Christ, or that brand new Christian that's in your Sunday school class that just frustrates you because you think, can't you get it? Are those times where you're on the roller coaster ride of emotions yourself, where you're up and down and in and out and sure, confident and not confident, full of life and same time breathing death or feeling death? But each one of us are called to be established trees bearing much fruit. In established, in 1 Corinthians 2:2-12, it says, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching was not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power." Then it skips down and it says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit." We need to live established in the Spirit of God. Rooted, wide branches, deep roots, tall crowns, spreading out our life to produce fruit, to produce fruit that lasts for eternity. In a book I'm reading recently, it's called In the Name of Jesus, there's a place in here about relevance. And in our society today, everybody wants to be relevant, but Jesus never wanted to be relevant. He always wanted to be humble. And it talks about, and I want to read this in closing. It says, in this climate of secularization, Christians feel less and less relevant and more marginal. Many begin to wonder why they even stay. And often they do leave. They join the contemporaries in their attempts to make relevant contributions to a better world. But there is a completely different story to tell. Beneath all the great accomplishments of our times, there is a deep current of despair. While efficiency and control are the great aspirations of our society, the loneliness, isolation, lack of friendship and intimacy, broken relationships, boredom, feelings of emptiness and depression, and a deep sense of uselessness fill the hearts of millions of people in our success-oriented world. It is here that the need of new Christians becomes clear. The leaders of the future, the Christian leaders of the future, will be those who dare to claim their irrelevancy in a contemporary world as a divine vocation that allows them to enter into a deep solitude with the anguish underlying of all the glitter of success, but to bring the light of Christ there. In all of the world that looks like it's all put together, in all of the successful buildings downtown with their ninth floor elevators going to the corner offices of executives, with all of the moms dressed in their Suburbans, taking their kids to school dressed in their best, with the neighbor with the new boat and the new hot tub, with the young people dressed in their designer clothes and their latest and greatest phones and Walkmans and headsets and all of those trappings, we look successful. But we know under all of the glitz and the glamour is all of the isolation, all of the failure, all of the inadequacy, all of the emptiness, all of the driving, all of those things that are running us into nowhere but ourselves. And sitting in this room today, each one of us knows the story better, knows the truth longer. Each one of us know that we are to be the light of the world to a dark and dying society. But if we are staying comfortable in the place that we feel that this is the place that I'm supposed to be because I have now, I feel comfortable here. I've arrived here now. And then all of a sudden we're challenged by a new circumstance. That's probably God trying to get you to not only grow, but also to transplant you so you become mature, so you can become established. And each one of us, he's counting on us producing fruit that gives life. And we can no longer afford to think of ourselves as nice little house plants. Decorative as that may be and as nice as that may be, we need to be the trees that God's called us to be. And we need to spread out our branches. And we need to start producing fruit that lasts for a lifetime, of this lifetime and in eternity. And we don't have the luxury any longer of sitting back and not asking the pruner, the gardener, to take us to a new place and show us a new thing. Because I don't want to go there because of the pain of being transplanted. But unless you allow yourself to be transplanted, you will slowly, slowly become pot-bound until you die. With no more life in you, nothing to give out, and no fruit that'll last. And who wants to stand before God on the day that we go to heaven? And we stand before Him and He takes His eyes and He turns it on our gifts and half of them go up in smoke as hay and stubble because they really didn't contribute to the kingdom. And then some of it we want to be able to give to Him back crowns of glory and fruit that lasts. So I would challenge each one of us in this room today to take a look and see where are we. Where am I in lots of areas of our lives? I mean, I don't think that we just become one big tree and that there's not some branches that aren't growing and developing and producing fruit. There's one thing we can do is the Bible promises us that the tree produces the fruit of its kind. So if we're looking at our lives and we're not producing the right kind of fruit, then it's because our lives are not planted. They aren't grafted into the right tree. They're not grafted into the life of Christ. We're producing things that we don't want to produce in our lives. Then we need to take account of those places. So I would challenge each one of us today to figure out where am I? I'm always in a growing stage. That we will always be. But there comes places that you should be establishing yourself in. There's other places you'll continue to grow in. But we should none of us be in a starter kit. Because you can't live there. You can't live there. And as we mature, we need to know the Word of God. So I would just challenge you today to take what I've said today and just think about what kind of tree am I? Where am I? How big am I? Am I producing any fruit? Maybe I'm in the second year and I'm not really producing great fruit, but I am producing some. Maybe I haven't gotten there yet, but I desire to be there. And I ask yourself, inside of me, is there a great tree? Or am I satisfied being this little pine tree in a clay pot? Knowing full well that inside of that is this tremendous pine tree that birds can roost in and squirrels can live in and seeds can be produced to populate greater and greater areas. And that's what we need to be. So I challenge us today to look at that. So Heavenly Father, we just bow our heads in contemplation. We bow our heads, Holy Spirit, in your presence. And we ask you, through your powerful work in our lives, to show us areas that we need to be transplanted, that we need to grow in. Areas that I'm struggling in that I need to dig in deep into the Word of God and begin to produce some roots in that area of weakness. Some areas where the fruit may not be quite maturing the way that I know it should be. It's there and I am bearing fruit, but I need it to be real fruit. Maybe it's a person in my life that I've not spent the time to really cultivate the fruit that I know is in them. Maybe it's someone in my sphere of influence that's really difficult to deal with and it's easy to kind of shove them to the marginal outside edge. And I know that they're dying. I know that they're starving. I know that they're not fully developing. I know they're weak. But I just don't have the time to really spend making sure that they're healthy and whole. Reveal that to us, Holy Spirit. Place maybe where we're all pot-bound and when we're so confident of the place that we are that we're beginning to cast judgment on places, on people and situations that they're not mature as I am, and instead of helping them, I'm just breathing death into them. Because I'm always critical and condemning. Because I don't have life myself, I breathe and I produce like kind.